to Romans 1:16. And by the way, when Joe gets back, he will be our first volunteer, okay? So we'll put him on the spot here. Okay, right? He doesn't know it yet. I'm seeing if he's running back here yet. So anyway, Romans 1:16. This is going to be our theme verse for the entire series on evangelism. And this will be the first verse that we'll memorize. Okay, Romans 1:16. And actually, it will be verse 16 and 17. So let's, for purposes of facilitating memorization, by the way, how many of y'all do memorize verses? Do you memorize verses? Okay. Yeah, there are a lot of different ways to memorize verses. Some people talk about if you just write the verse out on a 3x5 card, or you could even just get on your computer and print it out on a 3x5 card. Just keep that card with you. Put it in your car or in your pocket. Just throughout the day, pull it out and read it. But one of the ways to facilitate memorization is to read it out loud. So what we'll do, we're going to read this out loud together. And again, I know that probably most of you already have this verse memorized, but that's okay. It's the Word of God. It's the power of God and so forth. So Romans 1:16 and 17, let's say it together. Ready? Here it goes. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer this morning. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time that we can look into your word this morning. We're grateful that we can gather together here in this comfort of this camp and really a relaxing setting. And we pray that as we embark now upon this series in the morning sessions about evangelism, something that we know is so dear to your heart, that we would have a desire to allow it to become dear to our heart. And therefore, we ask God that our times in these morning sessions would be to your glory and honor, that we would have openness and willingness to learn these things and then to be vessels that are privileged to labor together with you in reaching the lost with the saving knowledge of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen. All right, as I mentioned, what we're going to be doing is asking for volunteers through this whole class and everything. And the way you get volunteered is I say, you come here. So Joe's our first volunteer. Okay? Very good. What are you doing this morning? Okay. You found them, right? And they were sitting right there. All right. So let me go over again several things about the purpose and the intention and the goal of these classes in the morning and what I hope to accomplish by the end of the week. If you'll look once again, see that verse there, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to what? What's it say? To who? Everyone that believeth. Turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. All right. Look over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and it says at verse 3, it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And then the next verse says this, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. You can see there's two things in verse 4, right? God's will, God wants people to get saved. And then he wants saved people to come into the knowledge of truth. That's edification. So you can see there's a twofold plan to the whole conference here this weekend. Evangelism, salvation, and then edification. What we want to allow the scripture to do in our hearts is to enable us to see God's passion for reaching the lost. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? How God desires for people to come to know him. And that verse says very clearly, who will have all men to be saved. God wants people to be saved. Did you notice that? Look in chapter 4 at verse 10. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. And it says this, 4:10. It says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the..." What's the next phrase there? Notice, it describes God as the living God. God is not dead. Understand that? God is the living God. He's very much alive. And He's described in this passage as who is the Savior of all men. And then, what's the next word there? Especially those that what? All right. That's important to keep in mind. God is potentially the Savior of every single human being that's ever been and ever will be born. But what makes the difference?
The one that believes.
That's right. Everybody say that. What is it? It's the one that believes. Now, if you'll look at something else, go to Romans chapter number 5. These are all verses that we know, that we're familiar with. But what we're trying to do is just refresh our mind, renew our mind, and allow our inner man to once again be confronted by, and I mean that in a positive way, but be confronted by God's attitude towards reaching the lost. If you'll look at Romans 5, 8. Romans 5, 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners," what happened? Okay, so how do you know for sure God's attitude towards you? That, see what that verse says right there? By the way, that's going to be another verse you will memorize through this week. You probably already have it memorized, but if not, this will be one of them right here. Romans 5, 8 says this. It says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners," what's it say there?
Christ died.
Christ's death on the cross, He did not die as a martyr, He died as a sacrifice. That was a blood sacrifice.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. Okay. John sits on the front row to make sure we preach the blood, and I appreciate that very, very much. But anyway, the evidence of God's love for humanity is the shed blood of Christ. That's the evidence of God's love. So you want to keep these things in mind as we're going to be developing this thing, this message on evangelism. What is God's attitude towards the lost?
He wants
them to be saved. What are they saved from? That's right, the penalty of sin, which is hell and eventually the lake of fire. So we're talking about something that's pretty serious here. We're not talking about, you know, well, he just wants to save them from a bad hair day kind of a thing, you know. Hell is real. Sin is real. How do you know for sure that sin and hell are real?
Because
the word says so. Why else? Because there's death. That's right. Death. The wages of sin is death. And Christ, what?
Died.
So you know... We know for sure, a person can know for sure God's attitude towards sin, and therefore God's attitude towards himself. Now that doesn't mean they're necessarily interested in knowing it, but they can know it. So what we want to do this week in these sessions that we have, we want to allow God's Word to impress our heart with His heart towards evangelism. And then, being impressed or allowing His view towards the lost, His view towards evangelism, letting that impress us, put an impression on our heart, then what we want to do is this. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 3. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians chapter number 3, and it says this. There's a little phrase here. I'm going to start at verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, "I have planted, Apollos watered." Now, what's that a description of? Planting, watering. What are you doing there?
Growth.
Yeah, growth. You're like a garden. You're okay. So, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." He says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one." See the repeated reference to planting, watering, planting, watering, planting, watering. See that repeated reference? He doesn't mention it just one time. So, in order for God to give the increase, what has to happen? Isn't that interesting? There has to be the planting and watering. Now watch what he says at verse 9. For we are laborers together with... Okay, so if we're laborers together with God, who gives the increase? So that's what He's doing. What's our part? Isn't that fascinating? And He says, we're laborers together with God. So we want to understand this, that evangelism, outreach, reaching the lost, it's not something that God holds over the head of the believer and says, if you don't work with me on this, then I'm going to, you know, ruin your life kind of a thing. Rather, it is a what?
Opportunity.
It's an opportunity. It's a choice. It's a privilege. Think about that. We're laborers together with God. Let me try to use an illustration. And this is going to be way... This is not accurate, but I'm going to use an illustration. Let's say that when the Bible talks about creation, God said, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, what day did He create man on? Do you remember? Day six. Let's just say that God reversed the order. And instead of waiting until day six to create man, He creates man on day one. And then He says to man, I want you to labor together with me in these things that I do the next 5 days. Wouldn't that be incredible? You say, what are you going to do the next 5 days? He's saying, watch. And He says, now come over here. And then He says, let there be light. Again, it's a crazy illustration because it's not how it happened. But I'm saying, if we can understand how spectacular that is, well, in a real sense, God is saying to the believer that He invites the believer to be a laborer together with Him in the new creature, the creation of the body of Christ, because people are being added to it when they get saved, right? So evangelism, we want to make sure and look at evangelism not from something you have to do under the law, not from something that if you don't do it, then God's mad at you, because that's not true. But rather, we want to allow the Word of God to impress our heart with how much God desires lost people to get saved. And therefore, He's willing to give the increase. And He will give the increase. And so He invites us to labor together with Him in simply planting and watering. So, the objective of these morning classes is to teach us, all of us, let's learn together what evangelism is about. Let's make sure we know what the gospel is. Let's make sure that we understand how to share the gospel. And it's real, we're going to be real focused, okay? And how to not get sidetracked, or if we do get sidetracked, how to come back and get back on track. We want to learn how to handle objections, because that's always a big issue. We want to learn how to actually take someone from where they are to where they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and bring them to that knowledge. We simply want to be laborers together with God in planting and watering. Evangelism, you're not graded. God is not grading you by how many people you lead to the Lord. Did you know that? That's not the issue, because you're already in Christ if you're a believer. Instead, success in evangelism, and I'll use it that way, not in the sense that God is grading you, but success in evangelism really doesn't have to do with how many people you lead to the Lord. Right? Because as the verse said, one plants, another waters. But God's the one giving the increase when they believe it. So the objective again through this is so we can understand what exactly is the gospel, how to give the gospel to someone, how to do it in a focused, short, just a few minutes, how to deal with objections, what should we say, what should we not say, if some, you know, how to deal with the issue of fear, if you're afraid to share the gospel, how to deal with the issue of rejection, and so forth. So there's a number of things that we want to accomplish here. And as I mentioned, this is not going to be a preaching type session. This is going to be more of a hands-on practice type session where we're actually going to do some things. We're going to do role play. Okay? So, Joe, come on up. All right. All right. So let me ask a couple of questions. How many have? Well, I don't want to ask it that way. What's one of the most difficult things? What are some of the most difficult things when it comes to attempting to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ? Like, what are some difficult things? Any ideas?
How to start?
That's probably the biggest one right there.
And to get up to believe the Word of God.
And that, okay, and that's a very important point there. Whose job is it to get them to believe?
God.
That's right. Yeah. So if that, bring that up again maybe when we go over some things tomorrow, because we'll talk about whose responsibility is it to do what. All right? Scott, you had your hand up.
Remembering the verses.
What do I do next? We're gonna pound that into our heads this week, okay? Step one, step two, step three. Step one, step two. It's a three-step process. We're gonna just pound it into our heads. So that even it's almost like do you know what muscle memory is? How many of y'all work out and exercise? And, oh, come on, kids in the back. Are y'all asleep already? Come on now. You know, they were out running this morning. They ran all the way down there this morning out getting some exercise. But what is muscle memory? Who knows what muscle memory is? Go ahead, David. What's muscle memory?
It's almost like your muscles remember the action that you've done so many times.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right.
Like riding a bike.
Like riding a bike. And what'd you say, Tom?
The ability to recreate.
Exactly. So if what we can do is if we can train our thinking, step one, step two, step three, step one, step two, step three, then even when fear comes in, there's a sense in which you can let your muscle memory, not the same thing, but that concept, let it take over. All right? So, Joe,
Yes. Let's
say that we don't know each other. Okay? We're just walking down the street, and I said, man, I don't want to show the gospel of that guy. Man, that guy's a big... Man, he's a big, bad, mean-looking dude. He's going to whip my rear end, man. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus, help me here. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I need some power here, you know, whatever. So we're trying to figure out how to share the gospel with somebody. And let's say we're at a baseball game together or something like that. And you say, hey, you know, so are you guys out here playing baseball or what's up? What are you up to today?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, we don't know each other. Great. Which, so is that your boy out there or what's...
Yeah.
Excellent. You guys come out here often. That's your boy. That's your boy. He's big too. Oh, man, now I'm really in trouble. Yeah, yeah.
That's my boy.
Yeah. So here you're trying to figure out, how can I share the gospel with this guy here? You don't know him. Hey, by the way, I'm John. Good
Bill?
To meet you. Yeah, my son's over there. He's on the other team, by the way. Now I'm really in trouble, you know. And so you guys, how's your team doing? You guys doing pretty well out here?
Doing okay.
Good. Excellent. You come out here often? Or?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Okay, good. So what am I trying to do right now? Yeah, we're just trying to see if somehow, that's all we're trying to do. Just trying to create some small talk to see, you know, maybe it'll go somewhere where you can get in the gospel. Maybe it won't, but maybe it might, you know, something like that.
Take the opportunity to look for a window.
That's exactly what you're doing. Yeah, exactly what you're doing. Yeah.
And you do. I mean, that's what you do. You look for a little opportunity just to say, you know, are you a saved person? Are you not a saved person?
Yeah.
Or I do.
Yeah.
You know.
Some of the questions we'll go over tomorrow are what they call the crunch questions. So, and again, we haven't got to the point yet, just like in our conversation, but let's say that we did. Let's say we talked about, let's say this is a Saturday. All right, and so I say, hey, by the way, now you guys playing ball tomorrow? Are you going to church tomorrow? What do you guys, do you have another game tomorrow? What are you all doing tomorrow?
I'm not really sure. But
oh, okay.
No.
Okay, all right.
We just go to church.
Oh, really? Where do you go? What do you guys do?
Well, it's a long drive, but we go up to San Juan, up to...
Oh, excellent.
Bible Church.
Man, that is a long drive. Yeah, is there, what do you go all the way up there for? He's going to start witnessing to me about right division, right?
Speaking of sports going. Because,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's pretend you're a lost guy. Let's pretend you're a lost guy. I love this guy, isn't it? Pretend that you're a lost guy. Okay. Can he do that anymore? Does he still have... Anyway, there's a...
It'd be pretending.
Yeah. Pretend, yeah. Yeah, think flashy, then. So pretend you're a lost guy, Roman Catholic or whatever. So okay. So where do you guys go at church on Sunday?
We go there to the...
The local, just Methodist or community church, whatever?
Yeah.
Excellent, yeah. You know, what kind of stuff do they teach there? Do they do Bible much stuff or just kind of...
What do they teach? They just teach us to be... you know, do unto others. They teach us to be a good person. To,
yeah, that's kind of common. Yeah. You know, can I ask you a question? I mean, do you think much about where you're going to go when you die? Do you think much about things like that?
Do I think about where I'm going to go? No, not so much.
Okay. Is it just you're just not concerned about it, or you just do you think when a person dies they just cease to exist, or what's kind of your thinking?
No, probably just to go to heaven.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it? That'd be a fun place to go to. Do you think a person can know for sure where they're going to go when they die? I mean, obviously you'd like to go to heaven. Is that...
Probably not for sure.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. If...
I'm acting, aren't I, John?
Yeah, you're doing good. You're doing good. Yeah, very good. Yeah. So what are you trying to do now? What do you...
Well, everybody, no matter which church they go to, everyone thinks they're right.
Yes, they say they believe in God and they think they're going to go to heaven. Yeah. So what am I trying to do at this point?
See where he's at.
I'm trying to find out where he's at, because where does he need to get to?
Need to get to the fact that I'm a lost person.
Yeah, got to get to the fact that he's a lost person, because we're trying to get him to see what?
Good.
The blood of Christ. You find out where he's at to get him where God wants him to be, which is at the cross. See that? So yeah, this is just some kind of... We'll do more of this, so give Joe a hand here. How's that? All right, very good. All right. We're going to do some of this throughout the week. Because, yeah. I can tell you this, too. It's as strange as it sounds, it's always more difficult doing role play or doing practices with people you know as compared to somebody you don't know. So doing this up here is going to be always more difficult, more nerve-wracking, okay? But we'll have a good time with this week. Okay, back to Romans 1:16. Back to Romans 1:16. This is our first memory verse. Romans 1:16 and 17. This is our first memory verse. You're going to memorize this verse this week. Now, if Brother Jordan was telling us last night that we're not supposed to be kids anymore, so that means I don't have to give you treats when you memorize the verse, right? Like Lori's having to do with the kids over there. You had a gold star. Yeah, there we go, you know. But
if you don't learn them, we're going to waterboard.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There are peanuts or there's no peanuts. We should give you bags of peanuts. Okay, look at this verse right here. This is a wonderful verse. This is our theme verse for this series on evangelism. Very careful. Look at this verse. Let me read it, and then after I read it, we're all going to read it again together, because we want to pound it into our thinking. Just very careful. Look at it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's such a key verse. There are so many things that we learn about the gospel in that verse right there. How can I say the most important, because there are so many things. Is God able to save someone from hell? Yes, that's how you got saved from hell. What specifically, in that verse, what specifically is the power, the authority, the right, the ability of God to save? The gospel of Christ. So, if the gospel of Christ is the power of God to save someone, then what is it that that lost person has to hear, and as it says to everyone that believes, what is it they have to hear in order for God to actually save them? They have to hear the gospel of Christ. So the first, what we're going to talk about first this morning, therefore, as we move on, is the gospel. Make sure we give them the right gospel. Next thing you can see in that verse, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What's the next phrase there? To everyone that what?
Believe.
See that? It doesn't say to everyone that worketh. It doesn't say to everyone that's good enough. It doesn't say to everyone that gives enough money or prays hard enough. It simply says to everyone that what?
Believe.
That's key.
Amen.
Right? And that's what we're trying to pound in right now. Listen, we got to get that into our heads. We will deal with one session in particular about the clarity of the gospel, and then a follow-up to that on how people confuse the gospel. Think about it this way. If you tell someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior that they have to be a good person in order to be saved, what's the good news in that? There is no good news there. Because why?
Because what you think is good, the Lord may not think it's good.
Yes. And they'll never attain it. You're telling someone something that's impossible.
There's none good, no, not one.
There's none good, no, not one. Exactly. And that's the verse you're going to use in your presentation. But on the other hand, when we allow the Scripture to demonstrate to someone their lost condition and the consequences of the lost condition. It's one thing to be lost, but it's another thing to see the consequences of the lost condition. And then that person sees that there's nothing they can do. And then God comes along and says, now, if you'll let me do everything for you, I'll actually save you. See the difference there? And now it's to them that believe. Okay? So, when that verse says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation, you got to remember that in the Bible, there are several different gospels. And when I say that, I don't mean Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not what I mean. In the Bible, there are several different gospels. And I'm going to try to depict it. I'm going to depict it. Give me just a second here. This way. If you take the word gospel, I'm not going to do a lot of detail on this, but if you take the word gospel, basically the word gospel means what?
Good news.
Good news. News that's good. Now, in the Bible, there are a number of different, say, bodies of information from God, news that's good. Okay? So if you do it this way, the gospel of God. God has always had good news. Now, there's always been bad news, but God has always had news that is good. If you think back to the Old Testament, you've got when Adam and Eve fell, God gave Adam and Eve news that was bad, that is the consequences of their sin, but He also gave them news that was good. So right from the beginning, God conveyed information that was news that was good. Well, fast forward a little bit further in history, and Genesis chapter number 6. Who remembers what happens in Genesis 6 through 9? The flood. Exactly. Was there some bad news coming? See that? In those days of the great flood. But was there some good news that God gave? Yes, there was a way for Noah and the 8 souls with him on the ark to escape the judgment. So, once again, there was news that was good from God. Fast forward to Abraham, he had good news and so forth. So you see there's all down through history that there's information from God that was news that was good. Now, when you come to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you'll come with me over to, for example, Mark, you come to the earthly ministry of Christ, come with me over to Mark chapter number 1 here. Mark chapter number 1. We're really fast forwarding, way fast, the earthly ministry of Christ here. Mark chapter number 1 says this. I'm going to start at verse 14. It says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Okay, so now I've got a term called the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? The gospel of the kingdom of God. It says at verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, there's obviously a lot of background in that verse. We're not going through and teaching everything about it. But if I was to ask you, based upon that verse right there, and again, I recognize that we're not going into all the details about the background, when that verse says that Jesus Christ went out preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, what specifically is the gospel of the kingdom of God? Raise your hand if you think you know what it is. John, go ahead.
Repent and be baptized.
Yes, and that's true, by the way. And in that particular verse, what is it? Exactly. Exactly what is it? Somebody raise your hands and tell us. David, go ahead. What is it?
Kingdom of God.
Yeah, see the verse right there? John, what you said was right in terms of a component part of it, repent and be baptized. But look at verse 15. It says, and saying, this is exactly what Christ, when Christ went out knocking on doors, and he didn't do that, by the way, but when he went out talking to people, declaring the gospel of the kingdom of God, here is what he said. He said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. There's the news that was good. The time is fulfilled. Kingdom of God's at hand. Here's God's offer. Kingdom of God's at hand. Here's their response. What they're supposed to respond. Repent ye and believe this good news. Everybody see that there? So Christ was out preaching the gospel of kingdom of God. The gospel of kingdom of God had to do with the establishment of the kingdom on this earth. And it, repent and be baptized and so forth. Right? Yes, Robert, go ahead.
A lot of guys use that John, gospel of the world. Is that a gospel?
Well, it is in its context. Yes, they use John 3:16. It is in its context. And when it says, specifically when it says, for God so loved the world, that's a true statement. But the way He was going to get the world was certainly through the death of Christ, but through Christ reaching the nation of Israel. Okay? So, but yeah, that certainly is news that's good. There's no doubt about that. But it was in the context of that program. Well, no, it's in John chapter 3. Yeah, technically yes, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is still under the Old Testament program, but it's in that. It's still part of the prophecy program. Tom, go ahead.
When he says he gave them, is he saying he gave them in resurrection? He gave them to the earth as in the birth form, as to walk the earth. When he says in that verse.
Yeah. Here's okay. The follow-up question is this.
Jesus in all the Gospels of his earthly ministry. He doesn't get the name Christ till after he's resurrected. Is that correct?
No, because Christ means anointed. There certainly is the aspect of Paul will use the phrases Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus, but he's the Christ. He is set, in fact, right there in John chapter number 4. If you look over to John chapter, look at John chapter 4:29. Look at 4:25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called, there it is, Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So he owns that title for himself. He's the Messiah. Okay. At any rate, and to your other question, look at John 3 and look at Isaiah 9. I don't want to get too far off track from evangelism, but I do want to encourage questions. That's what this is about. This is not a formal preaching. This is going to be more of this is a classroom setting. We want to learn some things. Look over at Isaiah 9. Watch this. John 3. The question is John 3:16. That is that the gospel? Well, depends on what you mean. It is certainly good news in Israel's program. There's no doubt that's good news. That verse is not the gospel of the grace of God, which we haven't got there yet. But if you look at Isaiah 9, watch this. Isaiah 9, 6. It says, for unto us a child is what?
Born.
Unto us a son is what? Now there are two different things there. There's his birth. That's his humanity. A son being given, there's his deity. Both are in that verse. You see the Davidic covenant in that verse. Because God told David that of thy seed will I set upon thy throne. The heir is going to come from your seed line, David, but he's going to be my son. So he's going to be both human and divine. See that? But the reason I bring up this passage, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's the son given. Okay, so again, that's another whole issue. John 3:16 certainly is the gospel. It's not the gospel of the grace of God, but it is the gospel in that program at that time. Okay? All right. So,
it's not until you understand Paul's gospel that you can...
Yeah, and we haven't got there yet.
Okay.
Well, I mean, in our study this morning. Right. Yeah, and that's where I'm trying to get to, okay?
Right.
All right, so let me move on real quick here.
Sorry,
yeah.
Is this one on topic right now, on John 2:16? I just want to ask this real fast question. First of all, why is it said should have instead of could have?
What? You mean at verse 6, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting... Well, that's the intention.
Yeah.
Well, the intention, because it's up to them to believe what He's going to do. Okay? Alright, so, go back with me if you would to Mark chapter number 1. I'm not discouraging questions, by the way. Let me just try to get through this information, and then we'll definitely have time for questions, alright? Look back over to Mark 1. So remember this, the gospel of the kingdom of God is the good news about the fact that the God of heaven and earth, who promised He would establish a literal physical kingdom on this earth, He was ready and willing to do it. And He sent the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, to announce the arrival of the at-hand phase of the kingdom, is the best way to say it. Okay? Now, there's something real critical to remember about the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that is that the heart of the gospel of the kingdom of God is the promise of the establishment of a literal physical kingdom on this earth. The gospel of the kingdom of God does not include what event? The death and resurrection of Christ as good news. That's important. This is huge.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. The gospel of the kingdom of God. If you're going to be out preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, in fact, look at the verse again. Look how it says it here. Look at verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, I'm going to go die on the cross for your sins, be buried and raised again, and if you believe on me, you'll have eternal life. Okay, so my point is this, that the gospel of the kingdom of God, the heart issue, the main issue of the gospel of the kingdom of God is the establishment of a literal physical kingdom on this earth, which will happen one day. It's just that's been postponed, right? That the heart of the gospel of the kingdom of God is not the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ.
When they asked Peter, what shall we do? He just said, repent and be baptized.
That's exactly right.
They believe in the blood of Christ.
Isn't that interesting? Okay, so now do this. Go with me over to Matthew 16. Go to Matthew 16. Scott, I saw your hand, but let me move on here, okay? We'll get you momentarily. Matthew 16. Look at Matthew 16. It says this. From that time forth began Jesus. And this is fairly late in His ministry. 16:21. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now there's obviously His death and resurrection. Everybody see that there? But you notice verse 21 says, from that time forth began Jesus to do it. So was He talking about His death and resurrection prior to this point? Not if that verse means what it says. Okay, next. What is Peter's response to this information that he's going to go die and be raised? See verse 22? Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So, if the gospel of the kingdom has as its central issue the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then if Peter's out preaching the gospel of the kingdom, why would he be so much against the very thing he's telling people they have to trust in order to get saved? Did I say that right? Okay. Look at another one. Look in chapter 17 this time. Look over to chapter number 17. This is after what is called the Mount of Transfiguration. Chapter 17. I'm going to jump to verse 22. So this is after Peter went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord, and they saw the Lord actually transfigured with their own eyes. They actually saw it happen. So this is a couple of events after that event. And Christ says this, verse 22, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him, and the third day He shall be raised again. Look at the next sentence. What's it say there?
Exceedingly sorry.
See that? So, yeah, so what'd you say, Joe?
It doesn't make sense.
If what?
That the death, burial, and resurrection was what's going to get them into the kingdom.
Exactly. If they had been preaching that their hope was in that death, burial, and resurrection. Now, let me be real careful to say it this way. We now understand, because we have the whole Bible, we have Pauline Revelation, we now understand that, yeah, everybody's hope absolutely is based upon the death and resurrection of Christ. We understand nobody's going to get any blessing except from that. But they didn't know that. They weren't preaching that. They weren't told that. Okay? So we're not in any way discounting that we realize that's part of the plan. It's just they didn't know that at the time. They weren't preaching it. If they were preaching out there to Israel that Christ is going to go, Christ is here, He's the King, He's going to establish the kingdom, but He's got to go die for your sins, be buried and raised again to have eternal life, then it sure seems odd that they would be exceeding sorrowful. Now, the objection sometimes people say, they say, well, but the apostles never operated by faith. Well, you shouldn't say never, but they say, well, none of the apostles were operating by faith at this point. Yeah, but that misses the point. I understand they were not exactly functioning by faith here, but Christ is telling them, I'm going to go die and rise again. If Christ had already been telling them that, and if they had been already preaching that, then these responses make no sense at all. Okay? Look at a couple of others here. Go to Luke chapter number 9.
And Satan wasn't sharp enough to catch that either, was he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, there are some other issues going on there. Look over to Luke chapter 9.
And if they had been preaching that, Satan would have never crucified him.
That's right. That's a very important key point based on 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at Luke 9. Okay, watch this now. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Okay, so he sends them to preach what? So, if they would have gone out and come to you, which, by the way, they wouldn't have come to you because you're a Gentile. They would have gone just to Israel. But let's say that we were all Jews living back then. And they came to our town, our neighborhood, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What specifically would they have said to you? Sid, what would they have said to you? Kingdom is at hand. Okay? What else? Repent and believe. So the timing, see that? That's what they have said. What would they have not said or not included?
Trust in the blood of Christ.
Yeah, what we now know, they would not have said, trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for your salvation. Okay? So he sends these guys out preaching the gospel and healing the sick. Alright? So if you look down at verse 6, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Preaching what gospel? Gospel of the kingdom again, and they're actually out healing and so forth. Now, if you'll look at verse 22, same chapter, a little bit later, Christ says, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. See how Christ is beginning to instruct them about that? Okay? Now, if you look at verse 44, Christ says this, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying.
Well, that's what got me right there. It's like, as soon as he starts talking about something else, time out.
Yeah, yeah.
Time out. Now, tell me, you got to explain a little bit.
What did you just tell us here?
They didn't do that because they
were afraid to ask him, and it was hid from them.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if Sid's got an excellent point here, is that Christ hadn't been telling them that he's going to go die and be raised from the dead. And then when he starts telling them, not only does Peter react by, this shall not be from thee, they're afraid to ask him. So instead of saying, wait, we're not on track with you, Lord, here. Wait a minute, this is different than what you've been telling us. Okay? Now, this is in Luke chapter number 9. Everybody see that? This is Luke 9. So you're now going to fast forward to Luke chapter 18. obviously much, much later in his ministry. I hope you're jotting these verses down because I promise you these will come up. Not so much in evangelism, but the reason I'm bringing this up is we first of all got to make sure we're giving the right gospel to someone. We got to clear the ground because there's so much confusion out there. And one of the sessions that we're going to talk about is the clarity of the gospel, what not to say. And it's amazing how many times when people are out supposedly giving the gospel, they're taking them back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom instead of the right gospel that'll save someone. You know, you can preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to a lost person all day long, and that lost person can believe the gospel of the kingdom of God and still die and go to hell. Because the gospel of the kingdom of God is not the power of God in the salvation. That's why we started with Romans 1:16. Look at Luke 18 now. This is nine chapters later. This is a long time after chapter 9. In chapter 9 it said they're out preaching the gospel everywhere. Everywhere is, you know, to Israel. So look at these verses here. 31. So 18:31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them. So he takes these guys privately to himself. He looks them all in the eyeballs, you know, like you do with your boys and say, listen to me, I'm talking to you, pay attention here, kind of a thing, right? He says this, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Now he's going to give details. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. Okay, so that's bad news, right, so far. That's pretty intense. But what's it say next? And the third day he shall rise again. That's good news. Look at verse 34. They understood none of these things. This saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. That's pretty clear. What I'm saying is that when you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's wonderful news in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The kingdom of heaven really, truly was at hand. Messiah's there. He's got the signs, the hallmark signs of the kingdom, casting out the devils, healing the sick. But in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the heart issue of the gospel of the kingdom is not trust the blood of Christ for your salvation. That's just not the heart issue. That's not what's going on there. Okay? Look over to Mark 9. I think Tom had a hand up here.
Is that part of the blindness?
What's that?
Is that part of the blindness that happened to Israel? Not really.
No, it's not that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Look over to Mark 9. Watch this. Look over to Mark 9. And I'm going to start at verse 9. It says, Mark 9:9 says this. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell... So this is the Mount of Transfiguration. This would be parallel to Matthew 17. It says, and as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were what?
Risen
from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves. That means they weren't out telling people this. Questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. So, if the gospel of Christ is the power of God into salvation, then we got to make sure that if we're going to plant and water and hence be labor together with God in Him saving people, we got to make sure and give them the right gospel. The gospel that God uses to save them. The gospel of the kingdom is a wonderful gospel. It's a wonderful good news. It's just not what God is doing today. It's not the message that God is declaring today. It's not the basis upon which He's saving someone today in the dispensation of grace. Now, what is therefore the gospel that God uses to save someone today? What would you call it? Specifically the blood, what do we call it? The gospel of the... There you go. Gospel of the grace of God. Okay? Make a G there. The gospel of the grace of God. And by the way, there's more than just two gospels in the Bible. Okay? I'm kind of focusing on these right now. Is the gospel of the kingdom good news?
Yes.
Yeah. Is the gospel of the grace of God good news?
Yes.
Are they both from God?
Yes.
Yeah. So both of them could technically be called the gospel of God. Right? Peter says he preaches the gospel of God. Paul also says he preaches the gospel of God. But they have specific differences. Is the gospel of the kingdom the gospel of God?
Yes.
Is the gospel of grace of God the gospel of God?
Yes.
But the specific content of those two are different. So we're going to fast forward now, just momentarily, because we've got to take a break here pretty quick. Man, the time goes by way too fast. What's, yes, sir?
You know, when you talk to people, they always say that the kingdom is everything.
Yes.
You know, that's the hardest one to hear sometimes to get around.
Yeah, that's a big objection.
God, he owns it all.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big objection, especially among, quote-unquote, Christian people. Generally speaking, a lost person generally isn't going to bring that up as an objection. But it's going to be people who maybe are churchgoers or who are lost people. I understand that. But because they hear the word kingdom so much, that for the ongoing of thy kingdom, that kind of a thing, they definitely confuse that. The best way, probably the best way to answer that is the fact is that heaven and earth is God's. It all belongs to Him. So if they say, well, the kingdom is just everything, the best way to deal with it at that moment, frankly, is just to agree. You're right. God owns everything. Now get back to the gospel. See what I'm saying? That's the best way to deal with it. Because is it a true statement that God owns everything?
Yes.
Yeah. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. God owns everything. So it's not, when someone says, well, it's all God's kingdom. Again, do you want a rabbit trail or do you want to get back to the cross? You see that? Respond with something that's a true statement. And then get back on track with evangelism. Okay? All right, real quick here. Now, I see your hand, Robert, but let me finish up here, okay? In order to tell someone the gospel of the grace of God, what do you have to tell them? What do they need to hear?
That we're not under the kingdom program.
Okay, you're not in that program? There we go. That's the heart of it. The other details I'll mention is true. But the thing you have to mention is Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. You have to mention that. If you don't mention that issue, and that's the specific, okay? If you don't mention the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ as good news, that His death, His blood paid the price, then you haven't mentioned the gospel of the grace of God. Then you haven't given to them the information that is the basis upon which God can save them if they believe it.
Amen.
Now, I understand that sometimes you won't be able to tell them everything. I do understand that. We'll talk about that as we go through. There's a three-step process. Sometimes you only get to step number one. You're a sinner, you're going to die and go to hell. Whatever. You know, sometimes you may not be able to get beyond that. But just in your mind, you got to understand that in order to say, in order to be specifically correct and say, I gave the gospel to this person, you have to mention to them, Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. He shed His blood to pay for your sins. You have to somewhere in your conversation, whether it's 30 seconds or 5 minutes, have mentioned that and made that the issue. Okay? So, real quick here. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. This is the second verse that you're going to memorize. Right? The second passage that you're going to memorize. Robert, I saw your hand. I'll get you there in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 15. So be writing these verses down. This is your homework assignment, right? This is all of us. This is our homework assignment, okay? 1 Corinthians 15. The kids have the song, right? First, how's it go? I can't even sing it now. Come on, guys, help me sing it. What's the song? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Come on. Close again. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Perfect, yeah. One year I was up at the Seattle conference, and what we did, myself and Alex were teaching up there at the Seattle conference, and we would alternate with the kids. So I would have them for an hour, and then Alex would be with the adults, and then we'd flip-flop and everything. And we were going over the gospel this one time with the kids, and there was maybe 6 or 8 kids in the class, and they were all super hyper. And I'm fairly hyper too, right? I couldn't keep up with these kids, man. It was pretty bad. And we're singing this song, Christ died for you. And hell, I'm having to lead singing, you know, and everything. I'll bet we did it 20 times. I was really tired of hearing the song, right? But hey, get stuck in there. You know, Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Verse reference.
15, verses 3 and 4.
See how simple that is? You can just create a memory like that. So look at 1 Corinthians 15 and you don't know the verse. Here it is. Verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that, by the way, the how is important there. We'll see if we can get to that. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you need a verse that really pinpoints what the gospel issue is, and then therefore will be the open door to mention the blood, that's the one you're going to use right there. That's the one you're going to use right there. That's the one you're going to use right there. So you're going to memorize Romans 1, verse what? 16 and 17. And you're going to memorize 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. You cannot mention the gospel of the grace of God without mentioning the blood, without mentioning His death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? If you haven't mentioned those things, you haven't really given to that person what that person needs to make a decision on in order for God to save them, if they truly want to believe. Okay, that's key. Okay, now, we're just about out of time. Robert had a question, and then I think Jamie's hand was up. Robert, what was your question?
The question is actually, you have to specify, be specific on when you do evangelize, make sure you say the gospel. You can't say the gospel of God, because that's going to be too...
I agree. You don't have to use these terms. I'm using these terms for purposes of clearing the ground.
But if you say gospel of God, you're in one, right? Any gospel.
You don't even have to use that. You don't even have to use that phrase.
The gospel of the kingdom.
Yeah.
When you evangelize, you've got to be specific on what gospel you're talking about.
What I'm saying is this. When you're evangelizing, you don't have to say to that lost person, okay, I'm going to tell you the gospel of the kingdom. You don't have to use that phrase. And you don't have to use the phrase. You don't have to say this. Joe, can I tell you the gospel of the grace of God? You don't have to use that phrase. You can if you want to. But I'm saying, instead of saying, hey, Joe, can I tell you the gospel of the grace of God? Say, Joe, can I tell you Christ died for your sins. He shed his blood for you and rose again. See what I just did? I don't need to use those phrases. I'm not saying don't use them. I'm saying it's unnecessary.
There's a lot of people use it. Oh, this is the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah, you can use that. You can use that phrase. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying, how about get to the heart of the issue? And so forth. Jamie, yeah.
In a nutshell, the gospel of the kingdom is that Christ came on earth, and the earth is at hand.
In a nutshell, the kingdom gospel was the promised, prophesied kingdom in the Old Testament was ready to be set up on this earth. It was at hand. Okay? Jamie had the next question. Yes.
What if they say, see, that's according to the Scriptures?
Well, it is according to the Scriptures, because Christ died. There's the Scripture right there you're reading. Yeah, it's a great... By the way, one of the things that we will talk about is how to deal with either objections or rebuttals or things like that. And that is... And you're not going to get a response like that from someone who doesn't know the Lord. You're going to get a response from someone who you're trying to show the grace message to, and they can say, well, see, right there, it's in the Scripture. Yeah, and that's true. You're going to find out. Yeah, I agree, you're right.
That's probably almost tougher sometimes.
It is.
Somebody is lost because they're so prideful in
Jesus. There's so much to unlearn. I agree. Yes. Okay, John had a question here.
One quick comment.
Yeah.
When you're talking to a Catholic and you're trying to give them Scripture, they'll say, well, no, my authority is the Pope. Just turn to them and say, Jesus, who was your first... Oh, it was Peter. Jesus called Peter Satan and told him to get behind him and quit talking his trash.
Yeah, that's an interesting strategy. Generally, it doesn't work. Okay, but it definitely gets their attention. Yeah. But we'll deal with those. We're definitely going to have a session where we deal specifically with objections, how to get back to the cross, how to go. Not everyone you talk to is going to have any interest in what you have to say.
That's right.
So we have to realize that the evangelist, there's a real sense in which evangelism, you kind of have to be willing, and I don't mean cold-hearted when I say this, but in evangelism, you kind of have to be willing to say, next. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
That, you know what, can I talk with you? By the way, say no, say yes. Okay, and then you say no, all right? Yeah. Can I talk to you about Jesus?
No.
Can I talk to you about Jesus? Can I talk about Jesus? Can I talk about Jesus? Can I talk about Jesus? You know what? Do you have a few minutes right now?
Okay. Well, actually, no. I was just going out.
Okay. Is it okay? Can we talk tomorrow? Can I call you by phone?
Okay. Why don't you call
Wonderful.
Tomorrow.
Can I talk to you about Jesus?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good. See what I just did?
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone you talk to is going to have any interest in what you have to say. So what? They're the ones that are passing off eternal life.
Yes.
They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting what you have to say.
You hear what Lisa just said there?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, wow, she's interested. It's just timing isn't good. She said, yeah, I would. I'm kind of curious. But man, I got a doctor's appointment. I can't talk right now. But yeah, let's talk tomorrow. See that? So, okay, great. Next. See that? So, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you should give her the gospel. Give me 30 seconds. You might die on the doctor's table, right? So, all right. So let's do this. It's about 5 or 6 after. Let's take about a 25-minute break. We'll start. Why don't we start at, say, 10:35? 10:35? Something like that? Is that okay?
Are you asking?